went to see my physician. He said, you're definitely ill. Then said the nurse, I've seen worse, and the doctor just gave me a pill. Take one of those three times a day, don't ever stop until you're nearly dead or almost. Better keep out of the reach of children. The thing is, there might be some side effects. You mean there probably will. Well, if it's a fact, just come back and I'll give you another pill. On top of that, 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 on top of that. And then he showed me his bill. I popped another pill.
Welcome to When Your Health Matters. Your host is Dr. Richard Huntoon of Advanced Alternative Medicine Center, located right here in the Hudson Valley in Newburgh. Dr. Huntoon has been practicing alternative health, utilizing chiropractic and many other alternative health techniques for the past 27 years to support you when your health matters. It's his intention to offer practical advice every week for you to consider and apply in your own life to make your life and the lives of your family and friends healthier and happier. And when you have questions, he'll give you resources to get your health-related questions answered from Doc Rick himself or another expert from the show. Being empowered to make positive health choices before a problem arises is the best way to approach health. And he promises to have information for you every week that will allow you to become proactive and empowered to take control of your health and your life. Doc Rick is grateful you're tuned in today, and your journey will begin after our first commercial break from our generous sponsor.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
This is Bruce Bagan from B&B Pool and Spa Center. We're proud sponsors of When Your Health Matters. Please appreciate that as a pool and spa builder, we are committed to making sure that you can get the most health benefits from owning your own hot water spa. And that's why we carry a full line of Sundance Spas, the world's leading manufacturer of hydrotherapy spas. Relaxation is one of the best ways to take care of your health. And when you own your own Sundance Spa, you can unwind at home every day in the privacy and comfort of your own home. Each Sundance Spa has dozens of precisely placed water jets to pamper you with their massaging bubbles. B&B Pool and Spa Center carries a full line of Sundance spas and is a factory-authorized warranty center. Come to B&B. You'll be amazed at how easy we make it to have your own personal hydrotherapy spa. We'll handle everything for you, so just sit back and relax. Visit the water professionals at B&B Pool and Spa Center, where we've been helping customers relax and enjoy their water since 1972. 787 Chestnut Ridge Road in Chestnut Ridge, and on the web at bbpoolandspa.com, or call 888-706-4557. That's bbpoolandspa.com. Or 888-706-4557.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network. You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
Welcome to this week's show, When Your Health Matters, the show designed to empower you to better health through knowledge and education. And I'm your host, Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center. We are located at 138 Canal Street in Pooler Park, that is in Pooler, Georgia. We're in Suite 404 of Building 400. So if you pull into the parking lot off of Canal Street, we are the second building on the left. And when you walk in the front door, we are the first door on your right. And it would be my pleasure to help you to better understanding with the concerns that you have regarding your health. And if you don't come into my office and you want to talk to me first, you can do that by calling my cell phone. It's the phone that I carry with me that I'm looking at right now. It's area code 845-561-2225. It is not a toll call. It is, the standard call rate that you get on your cell phone, which I believe is included in your plan. So you can just call me on my cell phone. I'll be the one that answers the phone. Again, the phone number is 845-561-2225. You can always email me at docrick@spineboy.com. That's docrick @spineboy.com. Come to a free healthcare class, which I typically hold on Tuesday evenings at 6:30, unless I have another event planned. But we're here for you. We're here to answer your questions. It's interesting. I've been listening to Dr. Radio the last few days, and it fascinates me that they never actually answer the reason for why people have problems. They just talk about the expense of tests and all the rhetoric that you need to go through in order to treat your problem. It is the virtual treadmill of treatment that you never get off of, and I don't want that for my listeners. I want better for humanity, and I appreciate you tuning in. And the man that helps me put this show together every week is in studio with me. He's the man behind the scenes. He's the man that puts the content together, asks the questions, develops the topics, and leads us down a path of answering your questions. The most important question would be the why we get what we get. And so we want to take the time to welcome Mark to the show by saying welcome, Mark, and welcome to When Your Health Matters.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Rick. It's a pleasure once again to be here with you and to have the opportunity to ask you some questions about why health concerns come up. And so much of what we discuss on this show has to do with the very basic things that one can do for oneself without involving medicines or doctor visits. And so because of the time of the year, this is a time when people start to get colds and coughs and lung problems, things like that. So I thought this might be a good opportunity for us to discuss just the simple act of breathing. And I mean, despite the fact that it is so natural, that breathing is something you do without having to think about it. And yet, why is it that so many people aren't breathing correctly?
Well, at the end of the day, Mark, it goes back to one reason, and typically one reason only, and that's called emotional holding. And it's not knowing how to keep everything bottled up and have it make sense without losing it completely. So much in our society is pressure-filled, and people are pressured and spend most of their time simply trying to hold it all together. And this holding, this emotional holding, inhibits normal breathing patterns and creates imbalances within that whole breathing mechanism.
So when you're holding back from being able to breathe fully, what are the problems that then result is from that happening?
Well, infinite amount. I mean, we need oxygen in order to start the fire, so to speak, to get the metabolic processes to occur. And when there's a lack of oxygen, what happens, Mark?
Well, then you start to feel faint and lightheaded. And
you'll pass out, and then you'll go back to breathing normally. But if you don't have enough oxygen, if you can't get enough oxygen in, if there isn't enough oxygen for you to breathe, what ultimately happens?
You die.
You die,
you
exactly.
Expire. Yes.
It's interesting because God made breathing free. All the oxygen that we need is available in our immediate environment. Unless you put yourself in a contrived environment, which is very common nowadays with temperature-controlled and climate-controlled environments and having your smart thermostats and all of this other technology that goes along. Most of our environments are contrived and they're controlled, which is fine. But if you're just simply in an environment, you're going to breathe and you're going to be able to exchange whatever needs to be exchanged in a normal fashion. Now, the challenge runs into, which I'm sure we'll get into as the show goes on, is, well, what happens when that doesn't work properly?
Exactly.
Well, then you get respiratory issues. But at the end of the day, the most vital, important ingredient that human beings need to survive and continue to live is the one that God has made free, which is just simply oxygen out of the air and our ability to breathe it.
Yeah, I mean, it takes very little time for you to become, you know, injured or damaged, brain damage from not being able to breathe.
Right. There's three vital ingredients that we need for survival. There's food, and we can go, you know, as many
weeks.
As 3 or 4 weeks without any real food. I mean, I see that on the TV show Naked and Afraid.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they go as long as 30 days without eating any real substance, and their body is degenerating and it's breaking down and feeding on itself, but the person is still viable. And so eating is important. But more important than eating is the next vital resource that they all have to acquire on this show, which is potable drinking water. They need water. So food is your third biggest priority. Water is your second biggest priority. And number one is what we're going to talk about today, which is being able to breathe. And you can't go very long without oxygen to the brain, and
no.
Otherwise you create brain damage.
Now, as I understand it, I mean, your lungs are located in your chest, so would it be natural to be breathing in your chest?
Well, there's a big misconception to say yes, that all breathing should take place in your chest, except when you become a chest breather, Mark, when you breathe above your diaphragm, you actually create problems and your breath is restricted. Now, why is it restricted? What is the cage, so to speak, that surrounds your lungs? What's that called?
That's your rib cage.
That's your rib cage, exactly. I gave you a good hint. So the rib cage is there to act as protection, but it also, unfortunately, is a restrictor. So as you go from the top of the cage to the bottom of the cage actually expands. It's narrow and constricted up top where your first rib and your clavicle and your spine all come together. It's closed off up there. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then as you move down the thoracic cavity where all your ribs are down to your diaphragm, it actually expands and opens up. And so the base of your lungs, both bases of your lungs are wider than the apices of your lungs or the tops of your lungs. And so your lungs are meant to expand, but they're not meant to expand up. They're meant to expand down. And what helps to facilitate that is your diaphragm. And so when your diaphragm expands downward, because your lungs are filling down with air, they fill up with air, but they fill up in a downward motion, which is kind of confusing to
kind
people.
Kind of a confusing
okay?
language.
You don't fill up your lungs, even though you do fill your lungs actually fill in a downward direction. But if you hold your diaphragm in place and you have everything above the diaphragm moving, that's called chest breathing, then you actually have restricted breathing as a result of that. Now, the diaphragm is a very interesting part of the body. It's not an organ, but it is a muscle that separates the thoracic cavity where your lungs and your heart and your esophagus are from your abdominal cavity, which houses the stomach and all your other vital organs, per se. And the diaphragm is supposed to expand down when you fill your lungs with air, and it's supposed to move back up into its original position when you exhale or let go of the air that's in your lungs. And so that diaphragm is supposed to have a moving action of going down when you breathe in and coming back up when you breathe out. And if you allow your diaphragm to move, it does a couple of things. Number one, it helps you process your emotions. It's where all your emotions are actually facilitated as far as letting them go. And if you don't breathe properly diaphragmatically, then you're going to become an emotional holder. And when you become an emotional holder, then you start to have issues that affect how your lungs function, because the first organ that's going to be affected with not expanding and contracting properly is going to be your lungs. And so ideally, we want people to be a belly breather, which means when you breathe in fully, you're belly below your diaphragm should start to expand out, and you should actually be able to see that. But Madison Avenue and the modeling industry and the magazine industry and all the ways that we sell how a person looks industry, does it look very attractive to have your belly coming out every, you know, 20 times a minute or even 15 times a minute, depending upon how many respirations you have per minute?
Well, people, I think, misassociate that expanded belly with a fat belly.
Right.
Right? And so fat's not considered good.
So what do most people do in an effort to not look like they have a fat belly?
Well, then you're going to hold that belly in.
Yeah, you're going to hold it in, and you're not going to let your diaphragm move the way that it's supposed to, which means you're not going to process your emotions the way that you're supposed to, and all of that trapped energy over time is going to create health problems.
Now, at the juncture where your diaphragm is the solar plexus, and that's really is kind of the central seat for emotions, isn't it?
Your solar plexus is a collection of nerves that regulate a whole bunch of different functions within the body related to metabolizing and digesting and processing our ingredients. And I remember as a little kid, if you get, quote, hit in the solar plexus, then your diaphragm doesn't move. And then
you can't
get
breathe.
Shortness and you can't breathe. And it's like the most death-defying experience that you could have. And if you've ever experienced it, you know that you don't want to ever experience that again, kind of thing. And so when you paralyze the solar plexus or you hinder the diaphragm from expanding and contracting appropriately, then it's very, very hard to breathe. And that, it's like I said, is very, very uncomfortable. So the interesting thing about belly breathing is when you do belly breathe, what it does is it pushes down against your digestive system organs. And then when you breathe out, it releases that pressure. And so what happens is you create a pumping action that massages your digestive organs and allows you to better digest your food. So those who typically are constipated, those who typically have difficulty moving things through their bowels, those people are probably chest breathers. And just simply by concentrating briefly for a period of time and getting into the understanding and the felt sense and the rhythm of belly breathing will probably make your constipation go away without any of the other ancillary services that they will convince you that you need to come in and have done, or the products that you need to take, etc. And it all goes back just simply to breathing.
To breathing. Now, it's interesting that the diaphragm, since we're just still talking about that, when it contracts, it goes down. So the tension or the inhale part of it is not the relaxation phase. And it's when you exhale that muscle then relaxes and releases. So when you talk about, since we were talking about the emotions of breathing and how breathing is so, you know, obviously if you're crying, you're breathing. If you're laughing, you're breathing. So all those emotions are being moved through your breath.
Right.
So that relaxation process of, you mentioned the idea of letting go. That's an important concept in terms of being able to move emotions through you.
Right. And when we get to one of our topics for maybe like, two or three shows from now, when we talk about large intestine health, the chief pathological emotion associated with a large intestine is failure to let go, or what one would be called dogmatically positioned. And so large intestine is about letting go, and what helps facilitate your ability to let go is breathing. And when somebody gets hit with bad news and they're trying to process that, and what ends up happening, they end up they keep taking air in, and it gets trapped in there, and then they're not able to actually release it. And the releasing of it is the releasing of the emotion and the contracting of the diaphragm and allowing all of that to start to move. And so anybody who's counseled anybody, whether they're a trained counselor or not, if somebody's grieving and they're having difficulty processing that grief emotion, the instructions to give to that person is to breathe. Just breathe.
Well, you know, and it's also interesting that as you show that the inhalation on holding back and grieving, the opposite is laughter, which is releasing.
Right.
It's the exhale.
And when one has a really, really good, strong belly laugh,
mm-hmm.
sometimes people will report either later that day or the next day that their muscles are sore. The muscles
right.
of their rib cage or the muscles of their abdomen are sore. And they're like, I don't understand why. Well, because you're probably exercising. You know, to have a good, hearty belly laugh, and I'll be the first to admit, I don't have a lot of those on a daily basis. And I'm always grateful for them when they come up. But I'm a very analytical person. That's one of my own foibles. And because I'm very analytical, I'm turning it into a benefit by helping people understand these health issues that they have.
Right.
But being somebody that's very analytical, I am somebody that tries to control things. And as a result of that trying to control, I can go to a comedy club and I can sit there and I can understand the person's humor, but it doesn't ever get me to a place of a huge belly laugh. And when it does, I had a comedian once who, you know, I was sitting there in the front row and I was sitting there and he was getting frustrated over the fact that he couldn't get me to laugh when everybody else was laughing. And so I became the focus of his routine. And when he finally said something that literally knocked me off kilter and made me have this huge roaring belly laugh, he finally said, "Finally, I've been trying to get you for the last 15 minutes and I finally got you." And everybody else was laughing and I was laughing and it was funny. But again, one of my foibles is the fact that I am a very analytical person and my mind is very, very good at problem solving. And as a result of that problem solving, I'm always looking ahead and I'm always trying to figure out what's the next problem to solve. If it's going to come up, I want to have a solution for people. And so I need to do better at going out and belly laughing. But I do belly breathe all day, every day. So it's holding on to emotion isn't an issue for me.
Yeah, and I mean, it, you know, the famous quote is that laughter is the best medicine. And certainly people who are able to laugh easily, you know, it really does facilitate the movement of everything that you need to move in your life.
And it does. And when you're in a laughter state, that's a positive state for the body. When you're in a non-laughter state or an angry state, okay, that's a negative state for the body. And so if you're laughing regularly, okay, then you're always processing that emotion and you're in a positive headspace, and then negative things don't happen to you. Disease processes don't happen to you, or the tendency would be that they wouldn't happen to you. And sometimes, like you said, the greatest cure for an imbalance is to starting to laugh. And when a person has their come-to-God moment and they wake up to the fact that they've been doing things the wrong way, which has manifested in their health issue, then it's good that they can realize that, you know what, I need to lighten up, I need to let go, I need to laugh a little bit more, I need to have more fun, I need to smile more, I need to do these things. And that is a step in the right direction towards facilitating harmony within the body.
Again, health comes back to something that's just so natural for us.
Yeah.
Now, you know, there are different ways to take breath in. And one of the things that some people do is they tend to be mouth breathers, whether they're congested and so it's hard to breathe through their nose, or maybe they're breathing heavily and so they're breathing through their mouth. How does that affect what's going on with your breathing?
Well, mouth breathers are fine as long as they are belly breathing through the mouth. It's more ideal to breathe in through your nose and out through your mouth, because the breathing through the nose, there's a filtration process that goes on. Mm-hmm. There's hairs within your nose, if you've ever looked up your nose, Mark. And those hairs actually act as collectors of any of the particulate matter that may be coming in the air that you're breathing, in an effort to not to let it go further into the lungs or into the body. And so breathing through your nose is important because there's a filtration that goes on there. When you breathe in through your mouth, you're not getting that level of filtration. But as long as you're breathing regularly, going in and out through the mouth is not going to be a bad thing, unless you take medications that causes dry mouth, which is enhanced by the mouth breathing, and then you can get gum disease, and then you can get teeth problems and that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm, so, mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, for those who are strictly mouth breathers, you want to consider that it would be more ideal to breathe through your nose, just from a health longevity perspective. But if you have all this nasal congestion or sinus issues, so you want to go get those things addressed. And a good remedy for people who get congestion is to go get some fenugreek seed powder, take that on an empty stomach, and that acts as an anti-mucus supplement, which will help eat up and get rid of all the mucus. And your job is to make sure you're not putting foods in your body that promote the increased production of mucus, and then you should be fine.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, so the diaphragm is the principal muscle that helps with breathing. Are there other muscles that help with breathing?
Oh, there's plenty of other muscles. There's back muscles, there's chest muscles, there's the muscles between your rib cage called the intercostal muscles. All of these things help to facilitate the breathing itself, but the diaphragm, yes, is the primary muscle associated with that. And the lungs actually fill in a rather passive way, because the diaphragm is moving and the other muscles are moving and oxygen is coming in, and there's a concentration gradient and the exchange of oxygen with carbon dioxide to facilitate bringing oxygen into the body and excreting the carbon dioxide. The lungs themselves don't really do all of that. It's the support mechanisms, the muscles around it, and the diaphragm, et cetera, that really facilitates the breathing action itself.
Mm-hmm. So the lungs then act sort of as a chamber to hold the air, and the muscles are what actually do the work.
Exactly. They are the organ of exchanging of oxygen and carbon dioxide, but most of the work is done by the diaphragm and the other support muscles of the rib cage and spine.
Now, I know there are multiple chambers in the lungs, and because your heart is on the left side, the lung on the right and the left are also different, aren't they?
Right. You have three chambers in the right lung, okay? Mm-hmm. You have an upper, a middle, and a lower lobe, okay? And then you have an upper lobe and a lower lobe on the left lung, and the middle lobe has been replaced by the area that the heart takes up, because the heart actually is in the center, okay, but it leans, the bottom of the heart is pointed more towards the left lower side of your diaphragm. Mm-hmm. And so that takes up space. So God was smart enough, imagine that, God was smart enough to put two lobes in the left lung and three lobes in the right.
All right. Now, is there something that happens if you're not using the full capacity of your lungs? I would imagine, especially with talking about chest breathers, that most people may not be using the full capacity of their lungs.
Well, over time, what you're going to do is you're going to create, if you're only working within a restricted range of motion, okay, and as you continue to become an emotional holder, what you're going to do is you're going to create fibrosis or possibly ankylosis, if you will, where there's no longer a proper movement that goes on. And then what ends up happening is you get a wonderful condition where the people are barrel chested, and that's called chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. And that's
the COPD.
COPD. Yes. I'm RICK, and I have COPD because that's the way the marketers want you to do it. And I get a kick out of that they'll take anything in an effort to make people aware of the particular disease, and they never really talk about, well, what's the underlying reason for that? And a lot of it has, again, goes back to what we started the show saying, that it's emotional holding.
What's interesting about what I understand about some of those lung diseases is, like emphysema and COPD, is it's not necessarily getting the air into your lungs that's so difficult, it's getting it out.
Right. So it has the ability to accept air in, okay, but then the mechanism for releasing it is blocked or restricted in some way, shape, or form, depending upon what condition you're talking about. And so the air gets trapped, and you actually feel like you're drowning.
Wow. Well, that's a pretty uncomfortable place to be. Now, this is a great show, and there's a lot more I want to talk to you about the lungs, but before we get to that, we need to take a short commercial break to hear from our generous sponsor, the AlternativeHealthcareNetwork.com. When we get back, there's a lot more to talk about breathing in the lungs.
Oh, absolutely. And you, the listener, I appreciate you being here today. I want to thank you for that. Listen to this commercial from our generous sponsor, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
Do you have health concerns? Are you or a loved one struggling with a health condition that has you worried? Worried it might get worse? Worried you will never be able to do the things you love anymore? Worried your life is slowly slipping away? Do you have a chronic pain condition? Do you have a specific health concern? Do you have concerns about your child's health? Do you want to learn about health and wellness? If you said yes to any of these questions, you need to go to spineboy.com. Spineboy.com is your information center for all your health concerns and how to restore and improve your health to its highest level. Spineboy.com has over 1,000 articles on different health concerns. Spineboy.com will inform you about your health concerns and what you can do without all the harmful medications and invasive surgeries. If you would like to restore and improve your health, go to Spineboy.com. 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 Naturally.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
And we are back, and you're listening to When Your Health Matters, the show designed to empower you to better health through knowledge and education. And I'm your host, Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center, located at 138 Canal Street in Pooler Park. That is in Pooler, Georgia. We are in Suite 404 of Building 400. Best way to get a hold of me would be to call my cell phone, which is this wonderful contraption that I have sitting next to me in the studio today. And you can call me at 845-561-2225. Again, 845-561-2225. You can always email me at docrick@spineboy.com. That's docrick at spineboy.com. You can come to a free healthcare class. You can come in for an exam and consultation. I don't really care how you get there. I just would like for you to get there if you have a health concern. This show is called When Your Health Matters. It's not up to me when your health matters. It's up to you when your health matters. And so we always want your health to matter, but we always want your health to be at the highest level possible. So my job is to help facilitate those kinds of outcomes. And if you have a particular health concern and you're not happy with the results that you're getting and you're just managing your concern and not actually addressing your concern, you may want to consider having a consultation with me so that we can help you get to the understanding reason of why you have what you have, and we can address the why, and then the why goes away, and then your condition goes away. And don't sign up for the treadmill of treatment to where you treat it every day for the rest of your life and never actually address the cause. And today, Mark and I have been talking about conditions related to breathing and how important breathing is, and I'm sure you have many other questions.
Yeah, I mean, one question that strikes me is that, you know, a lot of what is in the air is not oxygen. So does that mean that the lungs filter and exhale the parts of the air we don't need?
The lungs filter, the respiratory system. We talked about the hairs in the nose,
right,
and we talked about what goes on to get the lungs to fill with air and the importance of that. But the lungs are a filter. It's an external filter.
Oh.
It's our air filter in our vehicle, if you will, and making sure that the air is filtered and processed and letting the oxygen in that is required for our metabolic processes is important. But there are other ingredients. There are things like nitrogen that's in our air. Obviously, there's carbon dioxide in the air because we exhale that. The nice thing is that trees are a processing plant of carbon dioxide back into their excretory product, which is oxygen, and then we take that oxygen and we process it through our processing plant and we excrete carbon dioxide. And so there's a symbiosis between us and plants, and we need to make sure that we maintain that understanding because they're the ones that help keep us alive.
That's the lungs for the earth, really, right?
Correct.
Now, If you're not able to move your chest area, is that going to be causing you breathing problems?
Well, that depends. I mean, in a perfect breath, if you're a belly breather, your chest doesn't move at all. And I demonstrate this when I'm teaching people how to properly breathe, that I can put a hand on my belly and a hand on my chest, and I can breathe in fully, and my chest hand never moves.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because your rib cage isn't primarily about breathing. Your rib cage is primarily about muscle attachment and protection for the lungs and your heart, as those are vital organs for our survival. So not chest breathing, not being able to excrete the carbon dioxide out of your lungs with a COPD or something like that is going to create barrel chesting, because there's going to be ankylosing that goes on within the muscles that hold and support the rib cage. And then if your rib cage isn't moving properly at that point, yes, that becomes a health imbalance and a health detriment. But in a perfect world, if you're belly breathing, you're not using very much of your upper part of your body anyway. And then the energy for that can be transferred over to your arms for reaching and carrying and pushing and pulling and doing the things that you need your arms for. But you know, as far as the rib cage moving, it's flexible so that we can bend forward, backwards, to the sides, and rotate and all of those things. We need that flexibility for our movement. But the chest expanding and contracting when you breathe, that's not the primary motion that it's designed for.
Is it a problem if the chest moves as well as the belly breathing?
You're just not breathing efficiently, and you're not getting the most out of your breath, and it's not serving the purpose of what proper breathing is all about. Are you going to die from being a chest breather? No, you're not going to die. You're just not going to. You're probably going to have digestive issues as a result of not massaging those digestive organs over time.
No, so. I guess my question is, I mean, if you're belly breathing, then can your chest also expand? And because you were talking about when you can demonstrate that you don't have to move your chest muscles at all, but what about both?
If you're really, really, really breathing deeply, when your diaphragm has fully expanded, then if your lungs are still taking in air, then yes, your rib cage is going to expand, and you're going to see that the chest part of the breathing is there. But for the average person, breathing doesn't involve the chest if you're doing it correctly you go to the extremes of breathing.
Mm-hmm. Maybe an athlete or a yoga master or something.
Well,
like
an
that,
athlete or a yoga master, those people are good belly breathers, and they can get everything they need because they've trained their bodies to be efficient at doing that. It's the novice who's, you know, when I'm teaching people how to belly breathe and reduce their hiatal hernia and the conditions that come along from backwards breathing, we go through the process of helping them to see what a belly breath feels like and get them to focus in on that. And once they get that, they're just like, wow, this is easier than I thought it would be. And I don't know why I was doing it backwards all these years. And it's, again, that goes back to the emotional holding.
Yeah. Now, so your posture must then have a significant effect on your breathing as well.
It definitely can have a significant impact on your breathing. And so you want to have good posture. Your posture changes when your breathing is inadequate.
Oh, really?
So your body actually adjusts to the fact, and the bones deform to the fact that you're breathing in an inadequate way. And you could get in Dowinger's hump, which is like having a hunchback of Notre Dame kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
You see these senior citizens who are all hunched over, and a lot of them, in my experience, have been older females, all hunched over. And that has to do with, psychological perspective, to where when a woman develops breast tissue, if they're made fun of, or if they develop breasts earlier or larger than the majority of their other female friends, etc., they may get poked fun at, or they may become self-conscious, and what they'll do is they'll roll their shoulders in an effort to hide their breasts, and that also influences how they breathe and how they carry their head and all of that. And over the course of 40, 50, 60, 70 years, that will contribute to a deformity within your spine and a deformity within your ability to breathe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, what about problems with the airway before it gets to your lungs? Are there...
Meaning your bronchi or your esophagus?
Yeah, I mean
the
people get bronchial
the
coughs.
Trachei, mm-hmm. The bronchi, mm-hmm. The bronchioles, those things. Yeah. When you get that kind of... if you get mucus in your bronchi and you get a bronchitis or you get inflammation of your bronchioles, which they'll still call a bronchitis, the question is okay, if air can't get in and out efficiently because of the inflammation, okay, you're dealing with things like asthma and that kind of stuff. It's obviously a detriment to the person's ability to exchange gases appropriately, the oxygen and the carbon dioxide, and that's going to lead to issues.
So are those coughs and things like that generally related to bronchial problems more than lung problems?
Well, that depends on the cause and where the airway is being affected. Generally, it will involve the bronchi, and this is where the excretion needs to go through in order to clear the airways. So if it does involve the bronchi, bronchioles and the bronchi, then yeah, that's going to be an issue as far as being able to most likely release the air, not necessarily so much bring the air in.
Mm-hmm. And because, I mean, the condition of pneumonia, people who get pneumonia, that actually is in your lungs, correct?
Yes, that's a bacterial infection, a pneumococcus virus, mm-hmm. that's affecting the lung tissue itself. That's called pneumonia.
That's pneumonia. Okay. So... you mentioned asthma, and I realize that the number of cases of asthma seems to have increased. Is that just something that's recent? Is that something related to our breathing, or is it related to other elements, pollution and things like that?
I'm going to say yes to all of it. It has, again, and I'm going to probably say this several more times throughout the course of the mm-hmm. rest of the show, is that breathing problems have to do with emotional holding. And when you're holding on to your emotions instead of processing your emotions the way that you're supposed to, okay, that is going to impact how your body uses its respiratory organ or your lungs and the whole breathing process. And so when a person has asthma, there's many different things that cause that: repressed grief and other emotional holdings, allergies, chemical exposures, you know, some sort of pathogen getting in. And you know, it's interesting, living down in the Savannah area now, there's, I don't know, I haven't looked enough into it to figure it out, but I think it's kind of like it's a parasite for the trees, but it's beautiful, but you know, some people like it, some people don't like it. And we're talking about Spanish moss.
Yeah.
Now Spanish moss creates spores, and those spores sometimes when inhaled will impact how the lungs function and make it really, really hard for the person to breathe. And those spores interfere with the breathing itself, and they create congestion and irritation and causes a person to have a chronic cough and this and that. And it's interesting because when my parents moved down to Savannah several years ago, and my dad would come back up north, and he'd have this respiratory condition, and he wasn't sure initially if it was from something down there, or if it was the fact that he'd come back up to where it's a little bit colder and his lungs had an issue, this, that, and the other thing. And it there's a reflex that I use when I'm asking the lungs questions, and one of it has to do with spores. And it turned out that he had an issue with the spores associated with Spanish moss. And so I had to do an allergy treatment for him for Spanish moss, and then all of that cleared up relatively quickly. And it's mm-hmm. So there are things that get into the lungs that act as irritants. And when a spore gets into the lungs, it's got little barbs on it that attaches to the wall of the lungs, and those barbs penetrate relatively, they get past the first layer. And so it takes a while for the surface tissue to grow out in order to excrete those spores. And so it takes a little bit of time. And so there's things that we can do for that. But, you know, you can go in and you can have all sorts of testing done, x-rays, lung x-rays, and respiratory tests, and this, that, and the other thing. And your body just has to take the time to clear it. And if you give it the appropriate nutritional support, then it'll clear it faster, and the problem will be eliminated.
Mm-hmm. Now, what is it that makes carbon monoxide so dangerous?
Well, carbon monoxide, it's interesting because carbon dioxide, there's two oxygens and one carbon, mm-hmm. and the body knows how to process that very efficiently. When there's one carbon and one oxygen, it's not in a form that the body normally knows how to excrete and deal with in an efficient manner, so it actually creates an inflammatory response, and it creates issues to where the person can actually die from carbon monoxide exposure. And it's not something that the challenge with carbon monoxide is it's completely colorless and tasteless and all of those kinds of, so you won't necessarily know that you're being exposed to carbon monoxide,
mm-hmm.
But it does interfere with how the body processes oxygen and is able to excrete carbon dioxide, and so it's not good for the person to be involved with.
Now, clearly, smoking is one of the things that many, many people still do. I mean, I think the rate of smokers has gone down considerably over time. But is it that the smoke that you're inhaling actually adheres to the inside of the lungs and causes them to be less capable of absorbing oxygen?
Yes, if you're breathing in these toxic chemicals, whether it comes through smoke or what have you that's in the air, that ultimately is going to create interference with the filtration process and affect the exchange of carbon dioxide as an excretory product and mm-hmm. oxygen as a nutrient, if you will, for the body. We need oxygen in order for our metabolic processes to function, and that primarily comes in through our lungs. And so we need to make sure that that's efficient if we're going to have efficient metabolic processes that help to maintain our ability to live.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, once you bring up the topic of smoking, it would lead naturally to the topic of cancer, which is the C word that people find so terrifying. And What is the process that causes lungs to develop cancer, and can anything be done using alternative medicine to treat it?
Well, at the end of the day, Mark, it's the foundational question for why do we get sick and why do we develop disease? And I write articles about this all the time, and I talk about this all the time. When we don't have the proper ingredients, the nutrients, if you will, that allow a body, allow a cell, allow a gland, or allow a system to do their job efficiently, when you don't have enough of the right ingredients, then your body's going to have to find workarounds. And some of those workarounds create byproducts that aren't healthy for the body and set the body up for failure and set the body up for eventually a dis-ease state, a lack of normal functioning and a lack of ease. So when we get this dis-ease state, if you really want to remedy a dis-ease state, you need to find out, well, what exactly is the body missing in order to heal itself so that the body can heal itself? Give the person proper nutrition or proper whole food vitamin supplements that's going to give the body exactly what it needs to maintain normal function, and then you can remedy, reverse, and even eliminate the underlying cause of why people would get these diseases. And that's the difference between what I do and what other holistic healthcare, alternative healthcare people practice, is they practice more solution-based medicine as opposed to treatment-based medicine, whereas traditional allopathic, our traditional medical treatment, is not focused on fixing the cause and dealing with the mechanism of cause. It's more about treating the outcome,
right,
or treating the symptom.
Right. Well, this is really a great conversation to be having with you, Doc Rick. We need to take another short commercial break from our generous sponsor, the AlternativeHealthcareNetwork.com. When we get back, I have a number of other questions I'd like to talk to you about breathing and how it functions and how important it is to your health.
Absolutely, but please listen to this commercial from our generous sponsor. You're listening to the AlternativeHealthcareNetwork.com.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
Do you have health concerns? Are you or a loved one struggling with a health condition that has you worried? Worried it might get worse? Worried you will never be able to do the things you love anymore? Worried your life is slowly slipping away? Do you have a chronic pain condition? Do you have a specific health concern? Do you have concerns about your child's health? Do you want to learn about health and wellness? If you said yes to any of these questions, you need to go to spineboy.com. Spineboy.com is your information center for all your health concerns and how to restore and improve your health to its highest level. Spineboy.com has over 1,000 articles on different health concerns. Spineboy.com will inform you about your health concerns and what you can do without all the harmful medications and invasive surgeries. If you would like to restore and improve your health, go to Spineboy.com. 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 naturally.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
And we are back, and you're listening to When Your Health Matters, the show designed to empower you to better health through knowledge and education. And I'm your host, Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center. We are located at 138 Canal Street in Pooler Park, that is in Pooler, Georgia. We are in Suite 404 in Building 400. And the best way to get a hold of me would be to call my cell phone, which is area code 845-561-2225. Again, 845-561-2225. Or you can email me directly at docrick@spineboy.com. Again, that's docrick @spineboy.com. And it would be my pleasure to help you to better understanding with the concerns that you have. And today, Mark and I have been talking about the importance of breathing and those problems associated with not being able to breathe properly.
Yeah, there are many. And one of the things that I'm curious about is, as a chiropractor, how does chiropractic help somebody that has a breathing issue?
That's a wonderful question, Mark. You know what comes out of the bones of your spine, what comes out between on both sides that go to all the different organs and glands?
All the nerves.
All the nerves,
and that's
exactly.
That's the communication system to
the
your brain.
Communication from the brain out to the body.
And from the body to the brain.
Exactly.
Both ways, right?
So there's two-way communication that goes on. And, mm-hmm. and what the purpose of chiropractic is to relieve any tension or pressure or interference within that communication to allow normal function within the body. So the purpose of chiropractic is to remove that interference. So when we have stress, whether it's physical stress, chemical stress, mental stress, emotional stress, the emotional holding, that would be an emotional stress, right?
Yeah.
So when you have those things, what happens is the bones within your spine go out of their normal position or their normal alignment. That'll end up putting pressure on the nerves that, let's say, go to your lungs. And if the nerves that control your lungs are being interfered with, what will happen in the functioning of your lungs?
It will decline.
So as a chiropractor, when we do a spinal adjustment to the areas that control and regulate respiratory and lung function, what should happen with that?
That should help restore that pathway so that the lungs can begin to function.
Exactly. So what chiropractic does and is very, very effective at for people who have breathing issues is it takes the pressure off the nerves that control the breathing process. It helps to free up the restrictions within that area, and it allows for more fluid, more natural, more flowing, and ease of breathing every time you get a chiropractic adjustment.
So would the area that would be affected be the same for every person in terms of where on your spine the breathing is located?
Well, there's general relationships that I could say yes, that when a person has respiratory issues, I'm going to mm-hmm. look at the area between their shoulder blades all the way down to the base of their rib cage. But I could also look above that, you know, the C5, primarily the C5 vertebrae in your neck. C3, C4, C5, those three nerves come together to form what's called the diaphragm nerve or the phrenic nerve.
Wow.
And if there's interference in your neck impinging upon that nerve, then the diaphragm won't move properly. So when a person comes in with a hiatal hernia that's restricting their breathing because their stomach is pushed up through the diaphragm, not allowing the diaphragm to move appropriately,
okay.
One of the things we're going to do is pull the stomach down out of the diaphragm so that the two can go back to working together instead of fighting with each other. And one of the things that we'll do as a result of that is we'll adjust between their shoulder blades, and I'll also adjust the C3, C4, C5 vertebrae to make sure that the phrenic nerve that controls the diaphragm is doing mm-hmm. its job.
Mm-hmm. Now, because we've talked a lot about how emotions affect your breathing, are there things that get out of alignment just because of your emotions?
Oh, absolutely. Your emotions affect how your organs and glands function. So when you have an emotion that you can't process efficiently, like grief, okay, mm-hmm. that's going to restrict the organ, and the organ actually regulates how those nerves function, like we were just talking about, between the shoulder blades and up at the junction between how your neck attaches to your middle part of your back or your thoracic spine. So when a person has these kinds of imbalances within their organs, they're going to set the body up for the need for chiropractic adjustments. And sometimes our physical stresses and the way we go out and do things, you know, if you're a pitcher and you're always using one arm, you're going to strain the one side of the body versus the other side. If you're a football player and you're blocking or being tackled or these kinds of things, you're going to set yourself up for that. Basketball, you know, hockey, all these sports that involve any kind of physical contact and body checking and those kinds of things, those are going to create the basis for spinal misalignments. And fortunately or unfortunately, we have a thing in this world called gravity, which keeps us attached to the planet. But the effects of gravity on the body, if you don't maintain the integrity of your body, is also going to create spinal misalignments. So those are all really good reasons for why you would want to go see a chiropractor, and certainly go see a chiropractor to maintain your integrity of your spine. And depending upon the level of abuse that you give to your spine, your maintenance schedule may be different from somebody who doesn't abuse their spine.
Now, you mentioned grief a moment ago, and I know that this time of the year relates to grief and the grieving process when we feel losses. That seems to be one of the emotions that's most tied into breathing in terms of breathing problems.
Well, it is, because grief is the chief pathological emotion that affects how the lungs function.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And we've all seen it. We've seen it depicted in movies. We've seen it if we've ever gone to a funeral. We've seen it within ourselves if we've ever had some level of loss. And when we start to grieve over that loss, it's very, very hard to breathe. And if you're at the point of tears and the grief is just so overwhelming, it makes it hard for people to take more air in. Why? Because they just keep breathing. And it's like, okay, you have to breathe out to let go of that. That's expanding your diaphragm. That's allowing the release of the energy before you fill it back up again. And the breathing is the key to life, which is why acupuncture meridian for the lungs is associated with the lung one point, which is where the energy actually enters the body for the 24-hour circadian rhythm cycle that the body has. It enters in at exactly 3 o'clock in the morning through the lung one point, which is located in the little hollows between your shoulders and your clavicle and your rib cage there.
So, I mean, in order to be able to process grief, which if you are finding yourself in a situation where grief is the emotion that you are experiencing, you want to be able to process that through, which would mean that being able to work on breathing exercises or breathing different kinds of ways of breathing might be a very helpful thing to do during the process.
Go work out aerobically. Go take a yoga class and do lung poses. And it'll be interesting when you're doing a lung pose, if you have grief, that grief comes to the surface. Why? Because you're stimulating the lung meridian by doing a lung pose when you're doing yoga, if you happen to be doing that kind of yoga. But going out and exercising and forcing yourself to breathe heavy is always the best way to help recycle the energy within the body, is through doing exercise.
Huh. Well, that is really, you know, this is a very helpful show, because breathing is so essential to our life. It is the sort of the core first and most important thing that we do.
Correct.
Now, for a lot of people, I'm sure, that are out there listening to the show may be having issues with their breathing, or maybe having issues with some of the emotions that we've been talking about today. If they would like to ask their questions directly of you and find out about their specific circumstances, what's the best way to reach you?
This little contraption that I have here in front of me called my cell phone, they should call me. It doesn't matter if I'm up in my New York office, or if I'm in my pooler office, or even if I'm out of the office, either office. I carry this phone with me everywhere I go, and so call me directly at area code 845-561-2225. I will be the one answering the phone, so that just allows us to have a conversation. Don't text me. I promise you I will never get your text, and I will never respond to your text. That's the worst way to communicate, because it's not a good way to communicate. Talking is the best way to communicate. That's why God gave us the ability to actually talk and utter sounds. So I would ask for you to call me directly. Let's have a conversation. If you don't want to call me, you come to a free healthcare class. You could do it more passively, and you could email me at docrick@spineboy.com. At the end of the day, it's important for me, it's important for my mission, it's important for my purpose in life to give you the understanding that you need so that you can help solve your health concerns, because I think that having a health concern is not a good way to live a life. I don't think we are intended to have health concerns. Health concerns are a consequence of not doing life properly. And when you do life properly, then you don't have health concerns. So that's my personal opinion, and I've tried to live that for the last 54 years, and I've been practicing it professionally for 30 years, and it would be my pleasure to help you to better understanding. So I want to thank you for tuning in. Please tune back in next week, same health time, same health station. This is Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center saying, I look forward to supporting you when your health matters.
What started out as a headache has become a pain in the butt. What was just an itchy finger now is a swollen foot. Doctor, I've been out of breath and I've never walked up a hill. Avoid all diet and exercise, I'd rather give you a pill. The thing is, there might be some side effects, you mean there probably will. Well, if it's a fact, just come back and I'll give you another pill. On top of that, 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 on top of that. And then he showed me his bill. I popped another pill. I looked on the internet, checked out a medical site. It said you may not be depressive, but then again you might. If you're worried that you are, then take this simple test. Obviously you need a pill, you know how one is best. The thing is, there might be some side effects. Oh, I'd heard that before.